Good morning, everybody. We're going to start off this morning. Who would you like to open this up?
I guess my wife.
Your wife. I think that's an excellent idea.
Hallelujah, Lord. I just thank you for another day, Father. Yes. And I thank you, Lord, that you are such an amazing daddy and you take care of us. And I thank you that you allow us to be your vessels, Lord. And right now I lift my husband up to you. And I just pray that you would saturate him with your peace, Father God. I pray that you prepare our hearts. Give each one of us a nugget that we can walk away with and just dwell and think about what you're trying to tell us, Father God, to implement it in our lives, Father God. I pray that your blood would be upon us all, and even with the service and the worship. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Esther.
Okay, thank you, babe. I'm good to go. So this is, we'll do the teachings out of Colossians 1:15-23. It's entitled Supremacy of Christ. So I'm just going to read the scripture first. It says, "He is the image," talking about Jesus, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or power, or rulers, or authority, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell within him, and through him to be reconciled to him all things, to reconcile to him all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once we were alienated from God and were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior, but now he has reconciled us by Christ's physical body through death to present us holy as in his sight without blemish or free from accusations. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, and this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." That's pretty powerful. It kind of lays everything out there. You know, Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh, came to forgive our sins. He created the world. You know, everything is in here. So, you know, I went back, why did Paul write this? You know, well, there was wrong teaching in the church. It was Gnostic teaching being taught in Colossians. And so I kind of wrote down some of what the Gnostics believe. And you ever read something that you like, I have to read it, you know, and if I don't want to read it, I have to, because this is just totally stupid. But, all right, here's some of what the Gnostics believe. So, the Gnostics believe in two gods. One was the inferior God that created the world. And the superior God, sounds like the Mormons a little bit to me, but... And the superior God revealed in Jesus as the Redeemer. He was not incarnated in human flesh because the absolute God would not enter evil matter or an evil world. God only appeared, Christ only appeared to be human, but he was not. So he was like, I don't know, maybe a mirage or something to them, but knowledge was the only way to repent, to be redeemed. That's what, so kind of reminds me of the scripture, lean not on your own knowledge, with every word that comes, with the mouth of the Lord thy God. So I just kind of picked out three things that kind of stuck out to me, and they're like the foundation of our faith. I mean, so for one thing, they didn't believe that, I guess, our God created the world. We believe there's only one true God, and he created everything, the universe,
Earth. And the reason they believed that was they had two gods because they believed there was a separation,
yes,
kind of like yin and yang. Anything physical was sinful, period. The earth, everything. Only the spiritual was clean. So that's why they had to have two gods, an unclean God and a clean God.
Yes, people of the world think that, God changed in some way, because they think, look at how he was in the Old Testament, all the wars and everything. Because I actually had a discussion with a guy, and he said, now, Jesus is love. He loves everybody, and I, tried to explain to him that Jesus had a purpose. He didn't come at that time, he come to reconcile you with God, but later on, Jesus is coming, he came as, judgment on you. It's like before, so it's not two guys. God didn't change in any way. And I'm hoping to prove that later on in the teaching. But God's the same today, back then, forever. He don't change. We the ones that got to change, or we're the ones that got to change. All right. They believed that God, or our God, didn't create the world. They did not believe that Jesus was God, and they refused to see Jesus as the only source of salvation. I choose these three things because they're actually common today. They're all spiritual. This is what happens when people do not know or understand Scripture. As Christians, we must read and know the Bible. Even when we read and there's questions, or there's, we miss, understand the Scripture. That's why we got enough people to explain stuff to us here. It's just us that either by pride or by whatever excuse you have not to. I mean, when I first come, I was in Pastor Don's office all the time. Sometimes not good either. But as time goes on, you're not in there as much. Either he don't call you in, for even the bad stuff. But, I remember, I used to talk to Pastor Don. I remember one time I was, it was Pastor John. So I had a question. It was actually about Joshua, where Joshua was walking down the road to Jericho and he sees the angel. And Joshua asked the angel, "Are you with me or are you against me?" And the angel says, "Neither." I thought God was supposed to be with us. He's saying neither. So of course you start thinking, well, it's probably a spiritual thing. He's an angel, it's a spirit, and he's fighting, in the spiritual realm and stuff. So I go up to ask Pastor Don. John. I give him my whole spiel about it, and he's like, "Nope, you're putting too much into it. It's because we follow God. God don't follow us." And I'm like, "Well, okay, it's just like, Pastor Don would have went into a story or two and put about 20 scriptures. Pastor John's like, "Nope, it's just because we're supposed to follow God. God ain't supposed to follow us after us." And so, of course, it made sense to me. I'm like, "Oh, wow, it was kind of funny. Like, you're putting too much into it. This is what it is, and anything else? No, you answered all my questions. Thank you. But I do love our pastors because they always, you know, they correct you, but with love. You know, I mean, if we can't take correction, then we're not going to move forward. You know, if I'd learned anything here, I learned how to take correction. I mean, or I wouldn't be here, brother. You know, Sammy ain't been corrected yet.
No, he just doesn't take it.
Oh, he just don't take it. That's why you're still here. Yeah, cause yeah, I'm among a long list of people, so it, you know, I'm not alone. So that was always good. So I thought I'd look up, you know, because these three things are actually, you know, the foundation of our faith. Right. You know, if we don't believe that God created the world, then, you know, I remember on the internet, I actually just heard this with Ed the other day, or yesterday. I remember there was a lady coming to church. She's no longer here. So I guess I can talk about her, so. Just joking. I have no names. You know, no name. We'll just call her like blah, blah or something. Blah, 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 and you don't do this. but she got on Facebook, you know, the old Facebook. Everybody says whatever they feel like saying. She says, I believe in God, but I don't believe everything that's in the Bible. You know, so I'm like, how can you believe that? You know, I mean, how can you believe in God but not, you're just open to any interpretation. You're going to put things that makes you feel good, and it's not going to be the Word of God, just like Joshua on the road, you know. If we don't, you know, God's not following us. We're supposed to follow after Him. And that's to do things His way and what His Word says. You know, the Bible don't contradict itself. It's not, you know, like the world would say now, for that time. Or, you know, the Bible got to, you know, get with the times. No, we got to get with the Bible because the times are pretty bad. Thank you. You know, that's the word I was looking for, yeah. And I looked up just Genesis 1. I didn't want to write too much. And, you know, it's just plain and simple. In the beginning, God created the world, the heaven and the earth. You know, I mean, if you don't believe that simple line, then, you know, you're, whoa, sis, just like that. Yeah. But, yeah, you're open for a lot of stuff. You know, I hear people, even, who was that guy? He went on the air and said that God used, you know, evolution. And I forgot what it name, you know, what it's called, but there's actually a name for that. No, I know, that's the world, the Big Bang Theory, you know. This little speck of light was, you know, it was there, and it was like, boom, and it, you know, like, well, you know, you ever thought who made that little speck? You know, it's got to be a creator somewhere in there. You know, things just don't happen, you know. So, I mean, I remember this thing from school, it's a little monkey, and then he got a bigger monkey, and then he got bigger, and then he kind of looked like a man, then here you go. You know, and I mean, I believed that when I was, I mean, I believed that for years. You know, I mean, it got bigger and bigger, you know. But, I mean, it takes more faith to believe in that now that you've learned and you get more of the creation teaching in you, and there is facts behind that. They try to keep it away from us.
I was just going to let it go, but the Holy Spirit's just pricking in my heart, so I'm going to go ahead and going back to when Fred was saying that woman, I know who he's talking about, that woman that used to go here, and she said she believed in God, but not everything in the Bible. Yes, I do. Like Pastor Don and Pastor John always say, you know, you got to be careful. You know, if you're struggling in an area that you could look at it at two different ways, kind of like borderline, and you take things out of the Bible, out of context, you can actually get yourself and others to believe in what you're believing, and it's not fully true. You know, and going back to when Fred and I taught Wednesday, you know, I did research on that letter that Paul wrote and everything that was going on there. That's what these people were doing. I mean, they were teaching false doctrine in the church, and it was a very young church. You know, it was a church that had just been created, so I could see how the people would be very vulnerable. You know, when you throw some of the Bible in there but not all of it, you can get entangled in that. You know, so we got to be careful. That's why Pastor Don always says you can't just read the word literally. You got to look back. You got to study it. You got to tear it apart. You got to chew on it. You got to find out what was going on at that time that matches this word. They just didn't throw it out there. It meant something. It always means something. So if we don't truly get in prayer and seek out the word and study it and tear it apart, we can take things out of context very easily. And in the long run, we're going to get burned, and we might burn others. So we got to be careful. Mm-hmm. You know, God said, study to show thyself approved. So we got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
That's what happened to that lady. That's why she wound up leaving, because she was stuck in that belief that wasn't true. So we got to be careful.
Yes. So, you know, just to add to that, you know, we're caring people, but we want, you know, sometimes you don't want to make people or your family feel bad or, you know, I mean, you know, there's issues out there that, you know, these people got rights too. Yeah, but they can't, you know, you can't go for them, you can't let them still live the way they want to live if they're in sin.
You know, Fred, I love them. The only rights we have is what God gives us.
Yes.
Remember back to Pastor John. Yes. It always goes back to God.
Yes. So, you know, I always said, when I was first coming to church, Ed Trout said, God loves you too much to leave you where you're at, to leave you in your sin. You know, we think that it's the opposite. You know, I'm making go for this, but what I do wrong. But no, he's trying to drag you out of there. You're the one that's standing still, so... Like somebody getting dragged out, you're going to get bumped around a little bit, I guess, the way I look at it, you know, so. But anyways, moving on. But this is out of Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. This is still, I'm still on the dub, their creation part of the world. And it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain on what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was founded at God's command, and that what we see is not made from what is visible. You know, it takes that measure of faith to believe in God, you know, and in the Word. He touches your heart. You know, you can feel that love and the Spirit of God within you. Can we reach out and physically touch like I'm touching this table? No. But just that in me gave me the seek him. Even that little mustard seed, I don't want to sing the song in Spanish for you, but but even that little mustard seed, it grows, you know, because God makes it grow. He waters you, you know. So that it takes faith to believe that. It's like they don't want to. You know, the evolution scientists, they're running on faith, and they don't even know it, you know. They're running on faith, and hopefully they'll find that missing link one day. You know, I mean, one day we're going to prove ourselves. Yeah. I mean, that's what it seems to be. I mean, I'm making fun of them, but, that, you know, they're always, you know, and then anybody that speaks out against you, they want to ridicule us. Spoke on that Wednesday, you know, and that's their tool. Don't say nothing against me because we're so smart, you know. Yeah. But so then, and I wrote 1 John 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. Wow, I always love that scripture because, you know, we was in darkness. We didn't understand this stuff. You know, only by the revealing power of God that we know now. And we still need to keep on pushing forward. The next one is, was Jesus God in the flesh? Oh, that's always a good one. They, that is hard to explain and hard to comprehend with our physical mind. I mean, we, you know, Jesus reminds me of Jesus says, you know, I teach you of earthly things and you do not understand. How can I teach you of heavenly things? You know, you take it by faith that God could do these things. You know, he's not restricted by our physical world, time. You know, he's the creator of all these things. How can he be touching a person's heart in Australia, touching a person's heart in Melbourne? I mean, that's impossible, but he does it, you know. I mean, how can he listen to 20 prayers at once? You know, we can't do that. It would just be a big, noisy mess, you know, but God does it. You know, and that's what the Colossians, I mean, I don't want to say there was no excuse, like Ed said. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt because they did not have the, I don't know how many of the Gospels were written at that time, or, you know, this is one of the letters of Paul that we read all the time. They just had got it, you know. But there was always the Old Testament. That been there. I mean, Isaiah wrote that, 680 to 700 years before Christ, or before, you know, Paul wrote this letter. So it was there. And in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and he will and will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then in Isaiah 9:6, this is one I like the best. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now all these names were given to God himself. So for Isaiah, and you got to remember, Isaiah is getting this from God, you know, because he's a prophet. God is telling you what to call him, you know, what to call Jesus. So, I mean, that right there should have been enough to convince them, in my book, who Christ was.
A lot of the problem there, Fred, is that church was made up of Jews, but it was mostly Gentiles. And the part that you were talking about here, about that Gnostic belief that anything physical is bad and anything spiritual is good, and that's why they believed in two gods, that come from the heathen world.
Yeah.
It was mainly the Gentiles part of the church that had brought that in and was preaching it. They really didn't have a good foundation in the Old Testament to go along with that. Of course, even the Jewish church brought all kind of weird things in and had mm-hmm. that foundation too, but mainly that was the reason. They didn't have that foundation, and these were thoughts of the world that they always believed in two parts, the spiritual and the physical.
Yeah, because what I read about the Gnostics, that was only a term. What really caught me was they thought the Old Testament God was the one who created the world, was the inferior God, because the world was so messed up that, you know, he was inferior, so, you know, he created this world. So they probably didn't believe nothing he was written about, you know, him anyways.
Right. He was an inferior guy.
He was inferior, so we're moving on from him, which, look what happens. You know, I mean, that's why we know God is the same, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And, you know, what gets me, if you ever look at any cult, or any religion, like the Muslim religion, they always have to say the Bible's wrong. This is what's wrong with it. Now, me, God gives me the right way to go, you know, and so they always got to discredit the Bible first, because why? That's our authority. If they get you to believe the Bible is wrong, then they're going to show you the way. They're going to, you know, give you the new way or whatever.
The new revelation.
Yes, I mean, the liberals do it. We're going to liberate you. What does liberals mean? It means liberation. You know, and they always got to show you how bad the United States is. It's so bad, you know, but come to us and we'll fix it. You know, the cornucopia of liberalism.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sammy.
Moment you said that just made me think. I don't know if anybody knows, like at colleges like U of M, you know, they're very liberal. I'm just kidding. I figured everybody knew. But I'm taking a class and it's called multiculturalism. So you would think you're learning about different cultures, you know, going for education, you're probably learning how to reach out or teach different cultures. The very first thing my teacher said to me, she got up and she's from the Bahamas and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, I'm very rebellious. She's like, growing up, my mom was in a Pentecostal church, and she told me what I can and cannot do, and I didn't like that. So now she has dreads and stuff like that so that she can rebel against her mom. So she's teaching the class, and after about 5 minutes in, getting to know all the students, she's like, okay, now to get serious. She's like, if you're a Christian, you're religious, you're Muslim, you will get offended. And if you get offended, then just walk out. I don't care. Just walk out. You're not going to offend me. I don't care what you think. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just sitting back laughing because I'm a debater. Anybody that I will debate. So the first day I didn't really say much. I'm waiting. But all this stuff she starts saying and how if you say homosexuality is wrong, you're wrong. And I'm just thinking of all these different strategies in my head. I'm like, I can't wait for the next class. I am so excited because if she tells me that I'm wrong, well, who are you to say I'm wrong? Why? I have the Word of God to back me up. You have your own knowledge. You have your own mindset. What if my mindset says your mindset's wrong? Who's right? You see what I'm saying? So as Christians, the awesome part is we rely on the Word of God.
Yes.
Everyone else doesn't.
Yep.
And so there's no strength, there's no authority behind it. And it's awesome when you use the Word of God. The Word says it's a double-edged sword. It's able to cut through anything.
Mm-hmm. Sammy, I think you might get an E in that class, brother. But anybody else? Got a few minutes.
Hold on. Hold on.
Sammy, I just a thought I have for you is, you know, when you're debating her, you may not want to say, you know, take your time, but you may want to ask her, just ask, so are you saying there's no right or wrong? And don't even bring up the Bible yet or being a Christian. Just because when you ask anyone that there's no right and wrong, you know, a teacher, they're in pretty, you know, she says there's no right and wrong, you're going to paint her in a bit of a box.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say if there's no right or wrong, then when we take a test, there's no right or wrong answer. And you may want to do that a little bit. It's just those little things. Just, you know, you slowly do that. Because once you say you're a Christian, you're going to... the walls go up on all the students. And you can just do it slowly. We're all going to keep you in prayer, okay? And we're going to pray. What I'm going to say is, hey, we're going to pray for her salvation because she was in the church when she was a kid. Something happened with her to do this, and I know her mom was praying for her. So let's pray for her, and we're going to pray for you.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Well, go ahead and pray, Joe.
All right. What's her name, Sammy?
You go to debate her, Sammy. You don't even know her name.
All right. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. And, Lord, I think you sent Sammy in there to lead this woman back to you. And we lift her up. We pray for her salvation. We pray for the salvation of all those students there. And we pray that you give Sammy wisdom and insight, discernment, to help him there at school, lead many people to you, Lord. And we pray that he excel in school, that he just be an outstanding student. And we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. All right. Ready?
All right. We're the last issue with these guys is they refuse to see Jesus as the only source of salvation. Well, that's just like for Christianity, that's the whole thing. You know, Jesus is the only way. You know, the Muslims think he was just a prophet. You know, they don't even say he died on the cross. You know, so that would wipe Christianity out right there. If we don't have a Savior, then what do we have? You know, so back in Isaiah, these guys only had to go to one book and they could have figured it all out. Yeah. You know? Yeah, you know, hey, then you got to go nowhere, Pastor. Isaiah 53, 5 through 6. But he will be pierced for our transgressions. He will be crushed for our iniquities. He will be punished. The punishment that brought us peace is upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us to his own ways. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of all of us. And then John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I mean, if you wasn't who you said you was, if you was some fake guy walking around talking fake stuff, you would never go through something like Jesus went through. I mean, you would never be beaten. I mean, hopefully all of us seen the Passion of Christ. You know, and that's, they say that's pretty much the way it happened, you know. And look at what he went through. Nobody does that if they're not true. Nobody dies for something that is a lie. I'm sorry. You might hold out to the end, and right when that first whip hits you, you're like, oh, hey, I was just kidding. You know, I'm lying. Sorry, you know. I mean, yeah, I'll take it back. Sorry, you know. Whatever you need. Oh, but this, you know, you see all the whip. I mean, when the Romans whipped you, I mean, especially because you're claiming to be the authority, and their whole thing is to be the authority. You know, if they don't have the authority, and, you know, Judea was like it was their most problem place. They always rebelled in Judea. You know, so even after Jesus died, they crucified hundreds, I think, and, you know, killed millions, because they rebelled against Rome. So you don't think they was making an example out of Jesus because he said he was king? You know, so they, you know, just like in Passion of Christ, that whipping part was just, I was just like, whoa. You know, this is before I was even saved and I brought a tear to my eye. You know, I had to take my wife, and I'm like, not in English? I had to read. Go ahead.
Oh, excuse me. I was just thinking about what you were saying about he would have said, hey, I'm kidding. Mm. I think about even more so now the Spirit of God that fills us. And I think about that guy over in the other country where they said, if you just say, you don't.
Yes, I ran.
Yeah, yep. you don't believe in God and changed to being a Muslim will release you. But he's standing firm because he knows the Spirit of God. And to me, that's even a greater witness.
Yes.
Because that Spirit's within us, and it gives us a strength and courage to go on and believe and even die at that.
Yeah. She made a good point there. If we remember when I talked about the city itself, they had a main road that they would use around 60, 70 AD. They were bringing, and for quite a ways after that, they were bringing prisoners, Christians, to Rome, and that was a ship port to be killed. And it was such a thing to see them. They weren't chained. Most of them were just walking. And it touched people's hearts so much that they would actually get in line to go be murdered. So there has to be something to it, like you said, yeah. Fred. We don't do that unless there's some truth in it. Yeah. We truly believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Good job. Give me a hand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
What are you speaking on next week?
I'll give you time, Bob, and you'll let me know.
All right. Who would you like to close?
We'll have Ed close.
Ed Lindenbauer. Mr.
Ed Lindenbauer, then. Go ahead, Ed.
So you got to be specific.
I can see that.
Excuse me.
All right, go ahead and give it to Ed Medrano.
Okay. We don't want to overwork Eddie. Yeah, he's a little older. Go ahead.
All right. Well, hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we just we thank you for the word this morning, Lord God. We pray that this word would just minister to our hearts and our souls and our minds, Lord God. Father, that we would run with this word to know that you are the one and only God. You're the true God, Lord God. You are the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And Father, we just also just lift up the service that we're about to go into, Lord, with the worship, Lord God, that we would just clear our hearts and our minds to worship you today, Lord God, and fill ourselves with the word this morning, Lord, and even afterwards, Lord, with the fellowship, Lord God. Let us have a good time with one another. We thank you for the opportunity for us to just serve you, Lord God. And, Father, we just ask that you protect us throughout the week and give us opportunity. And, again, I lift up Sammy, Lord, to just be a light in that classroom, Lord God. Give him the boldness, the strength, Father God, to minister your word to those that don't know you or don't want you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.